Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is our text. This is the Joseph Christmas story. It's the same Christmas story that you hear from in the Gospel of Luke, but it's told from a different perspective. St. Luke tells us all the things that we're familiar with: the census and the trip to Bethlehem, the manger and the swaddling cloths, the shepherds, and the angels from heaven. St. Luke describes things in the way that Mary would have seen them, describes her thoughts and her feelings, what she treasured up in her heart. We know this version well, not only from St. Luke, but from Christmas cards, and also from Charlie Brown. This is the true meaning of Christmas. But the Joseph Christmas story is different. It's the one we have here in St. Matthew's Gospel. St. Matthew shows us Christmas as Joseph experienced it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. This may be a little less familiar. It doesn't really make for a happy, holy family on the front of a Christmas card, does it? Most of this happens in that in-between time, in between when the angel Gabriel visits Mary to announce that she's going to have a child, and the time when Joseph and Mary and Jesus travel to Bethlehem and she gives birth. How does Joseph respond to the pregnancy? Life, it turns out, is messy and complicated. We know that, but what might surprise us is to discover that life was also messy and complicated when the Son of God assumed our human nature in the womb of Mary. The way St. Matthew tells it, we have a scandalous pregnancy, a quietly planned divorce, and a change of heart brought on by a divine dream. We find fear, confusion, and uncertainty. The greatest tension in St. Matthew's account is not the tension of trying to find a room in Bethlehem. It's the tension inside this man, inside Joseph, as he wrestles with his duty and his calling from God, a duty and calling that turn out to be far different than he expected, and harder, and filled with a greater blessing than he could have imagined. What's it like to be Joseph at Christmas? Well, it's confusing. Now, we don't know much about Joseph, only a little bit. He was descended from David of Bethlehem, the shepherd boy, the slayer of Goliath, and ultimately the king of Israel. We learn that Joseph is a just man, that is, a good person who leads an upright life, a life that is respectable before others. And he also seems to have been a thoughtful man, not rash and not hasty, which he needed considering the situation that he found himself in, engaged to a woman who carries a child that isn't his. Can you picture Joseph wrestling with this? Maybe sitting at his workbench in his carpenter shop with a job half finished and his tools resting on the table, head in his hands, just staring off into space. What to do? What to do, he asks. Should he marry her anyway in that condition? But she carries someone else's child. And what about that story she told to cover it up about the angel coming? Or should he expose her publicly and make her feel the shame, the humiliation, and the punishment of an adulteress? But then she might be stoned to death. So he resolved to go another way, neither to marry her nor to make a public accusation, but just to divorce her quietly. You might say, sort of sweep it under the rug and let sleeping dogs lie. People would talk, of course, as people tend to do, especially about other people's business. Yet she could make her way through life with that child in some fashion, and he could learn to recover from the disappointment and the heartbreak. I imagine Joseph sitting there, realizing that this is a situation that is beyond his control. The only thing he can do is decide how he will respond. Such is life, messy, complicated, outside of our control. So many things don't turn out like we hoped or we planned. Unexpected situations create fear and confusion and uncertainty. What challenges do you have? What difficult decisions confront you? Maybe, like Joseph, it's your marriage, or maybe your children. Or maybe it's relationships outside of the home or your work. Maybe it's just the craziness of this Christmas season, and you're trying to figure out what to do. You're trying to handle it well. You want to know which way to go, but no path seems exactly right. And you didn't ask for this. And it's so easy in these moments, in these situations, to get caught up focusing on ourselves, to get caught up nursing our own hurts and disappointments, agonizing over the way things affect us. When it comes to decisions in life, there are a couple of things to say. The Ten Commandments certainly offer help. Whatever decision you're faced with, run it through the Ten Commandments, because those provide very clear boundaries on how to live. And then there's Holy Scripture, which offers plenty of wisdom and many examples of those who have gone before. And yet, like me, you'll probably find that there's no perfect solution that you find in Scripture. There's no example that perfectly matches what you're going through. So remember this: though the situation is out of your control, you can decide how you will respond, like Joseph. But what Joseph ultimately finds out in his Christmas story is that his story is a small part of a much, much bigger story. Not just the Mary story or the Joseph story, not just your story and my story, but there's one big story that encompasses them and us. The story of our God and what he is doing. How has God decided to handle the mess and complication of this world? How will he deal with our sorrow and our sin? How will he be with his people? This is his Christmas story. So as Joseph is pondering these things, as he is considering them, as he lays down with these things swirling around in his mind, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Well, great for Joseph, isn't it? At least he had an angel to tell him what to do, to make it really, really clear. And of course, that's true. He did get an angel, and I can't promise one to you. And even if an angel appeared, I'd be a little skeptical until you run what the angel says through the sieve of Scripture to make sure it's from God. But I think there's more to it than that for Joseph. It's not just that the angel tells him what to do. It's what the angel tells him. The angel tells him about the child. The child conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin's Son, the one descended from David according to the flesh, whose name will be Jesus. Jesus. That's what the angel tells Joseph about. Whose name means the Lord saves. A confession of exactly who he is and exactly what he'll do. He is the Lord, and he will save his people from their sins. Behind the angel's word looms the cross. Behind the angel's word, you can almost see the blood pouring down. Atonement for the sins of the world. He will save his people. And he will save them from their sins. You want to know what to do, Joseph? Here is the one who will save. He will save you through whatever heartbreak you're going through. Through whatever decision you're going through, he will save you. Whether every path you're looking at seems to be wrong and you can't quite figure out which way to go, he will save you. And by his blood, he will cover your sins. And this is the promise that makes the difference for Joseph. This is the promise that pulls Joseph out of his little story where he's wrapped up in himself and into the bigger story, into the story where God is the biggest actor of all. And it's in this story that God chooses to enter the mess and the complication. It's in this story that God decides to take on the sins of his people. It's in this story that God is not confused or uncertain, but he cuts through the fear and the confusion and the uncertainty to take action. Joseph, take Mary as your wife. Why? Because Mary's pregnancy is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because of Mary's son. Because of what this one will do. Matthew tells us that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, Joseph finds himself part of a much, much bigger story. This bigger story started long before Joseph and Mary were ever engaged. It started well before Joseph and Mary were even born. 8 centuries earlier, Isaiah had prophesied about it. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Which virgin? Which virgin? When? And why? It is a promise that God made to King Ahaz, as we heard in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, Ahaz, the king of Israel, and he's looking to the north, our king of Judah, he looks to the north and he sees his enemies, Israel and Syria, who want Judah to join with them in a war against Assyria. And he doesn't know what to do. Should he resist them? Should he call to Egypt or call to Assyria to come to his aid? What should he do? And God sends a prophet and says, listen to the prophet. And the prophet says, I'll give you a sign. And Ahaz says, thank you, but no thanks. And God gives a sign anyway. And the sign is this: a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. This is the sign to look for. This is the sign of our salvation. This is the sign of our hope, and of hope for Ahaz as well. And though Ahaz rejected the sign, it is from the line of Ahaz and his descendants Joseph and Mary, that the Savior will come. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I think about what Joseph did. It is such an amazing thing. Instead of sending Mary away with a scarlet A on her dress, instead of sweeping it under the rug but letting her bear the consequences, Joseph takes her as his wife. He covers her shame, at least what the world would call shame, and he bears it as his own. He nourishes and cherishes his wife, and he loves her, so that Mary appears in beauty and splendor. And I find here in Joseph a fitting guardian for Jesus. For in doing what he does for Mary, he provides an example of what Jesus will do for his bride, the church. Jesus takes the church as his own. He takes you. And he loves you, and he nourishes and he cherishes you. And rather than trumpeting your shame or publicly exposing you, rather than making you wear the scarlet letter on your clothes, he bears your sin and he covers it. And he takes it right to the cross, because he will do exactly what the angel said. He will save his people from their sins. And so he has done. Our Lord has come for you and for me into this messy, complicated, confusing, uncertain, and often filled with fear world. And he has come not only to save, but also to be with us, as the name Emmanuel declares, God with us. And he is with us still, with us in his Son, Jesus Christ, with us in his Son, who became flesh and lived and died and rose and ascended, and who speaks to us still through his holy word, and who comes to us even now through his holy communion. God is with you. He may not tell you exactly which path to take. He may not answer every question you have. He may not clear up in this moment every confusion and every complication. He may not clean up every mess. But he will be with you through them. And he will guide you through them. And he will, as he promised, save you from your sins. For this is why he sent Jesus into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And this is why he sent the angel to Joseph, that Joseph might take this child as his own and raise for us the Savior, that we might be saved now and forever. May God grant us his blessing here at the conclusion of the Advent season as we look ahead to celebrating with great joy the birth of his Son. Amen.